During Advent and Christmas, our theme has been All Earth is Waiting, in which we've looked at the coming of Jesus Christ, the Creator becoming part of creation, and the implications that that might have for us in caring for creation. During Advent, each week we highlighted one of the themes, hope, joy, peace, and love, and talked about different ways that we are called to care for the earth, to think about our carbon footprint, to think about the food that we eat, all those different kinds of things. And then on Christmas, of course, we talked about the arrival of Jesus Christ. And last Sunday, Nate shared with us a sermon about our mission because of all of that. So today we kind of wrap all of this up and we turn to this idea of gifts. Gifts that are given at Christmas. Now, in my house, we have a tradition about giving gifts at Christmas. And our tradition is that Santa Claus comes, and there are gifts that are laid out on the coffee table that are unwrapped, so that when the kids come in, they're there and they can see them, and then the stockings are filled by Santa. And there's two reasons why we do three gifts. One is a theological reason, and that is because the wise men, the magi, brought three gifts to Jesus. And if that's good enough for Jesus, that's good enough for my kids, right? They don't need any more than that. But it does help to make this connection between the Christmas story and what we are actually doing on Christmas. And then the second is a practical reason. Three seems like a fairly reasonable number of gifts to me. It would be easy to go overboard with gifts, and so three, you know, sets a nice limit, I think. A good amount, not too much, not too few, I think is just a good number. But this year, I had a little bit of trouble finding the gifts. Now, for James, there was no trouble at all. James is easy to shop for. He is 6 years old and loves toys. Like any kind of toy I would buy him, he would love. He loves Legos. He loves action figures, you know, anything. The struggle is whittling it down to the number that is manageable for him, right? So anything I get, any kind of toy, he loves, he adores. And he is so much fun to watch open gifts, right? So I don't know if y'all are familiar with these unboxing videos on YouTube. Anybody who has kids probably knows about these. So on YouTube, there's all these videos of kids and sometimes adults opening toys and presents and kind of getting them out and talking about them and playing with them and showing off all their features and stuff. James loves these videos. He watches them all the time. And so when he opens gifts, he does the same thing. Right, so he narrates the whole experience of this present. So he'll you know talk about the box and what kind of shape it is, and he'll take the paper off and he'll announce what it is, and he'll talk about some of the features of it, and he'll get the present out and he'll play with it and show me all these different things and stuff. Like it's a whole experience, and it's a lot of fun. I mean, it's just such a joy on Christmas for him to open gifts. But Becca is a little bit harder to shop for. So Becca is a tween. If you're not familiar with that term, it's kind of the age between childhood and teenager. She's 10 years old, right? So she's not really a little kid anymore, but she's not quite a teenager. And so she's kind of outgrown toys. She doesn't like to play with toys so much anymore like James still does. But she's not really quite into the teenage stuff yet. Like she's not into clothes or makeup or accessories or any of that kind of stuff. So it really is kind of hard to shop for her. Now, Becca's favorite thing is books. Her favorite pastime is to read. And so I knew Santa would bring a lot of books, so I didn't have to worry about that. So I'm left with three gifts to try to figure out what to buy for Becca. So I go to Target and go to the board game section, because that's something that we both enjoy. I was able to find two board games and got those for her. And she likes board games. I like playing board games with her. So those were two good gifts, right? But there's one left I've got to find. I didn't want to buy three because I didn't want them all to be board games, so I needed something different. So I'm down one more gift. What can I buy Becca? And I search Target, I search online, I do all this stuff, doing racking my brain to try to figure out what other gift can I buy Becca that she would enjoy. And I ran across something on the internet that sparked my interest. It was a night light that projects a rainbow into your room. Now, Becca still uses a nightlight. She likes to have a little bit of light at night in her room. And she has always loved rainbows. She's just drawn to them. And when they're in the sky, she stops and looks at them and talks about them. She has rainbow decorations in her room. She has rainbow stuffed animals. She's just always really liked rainbows. And so I thought, oh, this might be the thing, right? I might have come across this thing that is a great gift for her. So I order it on Amazon, and it arrives, and I wrap it and all this stuff. And so, but I'm nervous, right? Like, I know that she'll like the books that Santa brings. I know that she'll like these board games. but I'm not quite sure about this gift. I hope that she's going to like it, but I'm not quite positive. And so on Christmas, she sees the books, and she's all excited about those, and she opens the board games, and she's excited. And then the very last gift that she opens is this nightlight. And I'm waiting with anticipation, right? I'm almost holding my breath to see her open it and find out whether she likes it or not. And so she rips the paper off, and she looks at it, and she can't quite figure out what it is. And so I have to kind of explain to her, oh, this is a nightlight. You put it in your room, and it'll shine a rainbow on the wall. And so I kind of explain to her the science behind it. The light shines down into this mirror, and there's a prism there. And so it reflects the light and spreads it. And she's like, oh, that's really neat. And so she kind of takes it out of the box and starts to read the instructions. And then she goes up to her room. And I'm like, oh, does she like it? Does she not? I'm not really sure. So she goes up there, and she finishes reading the instructions, and she sets it up and kind of gets it how she wants it, and then she calls me and asks me to come up to her room. And when I get there, this is what I see. She set it up so it shines right over her bed, right on her wall, and it lights up her name, right? And so I was just so happy that she liked it and that she took the time to set it up, and I just was filled with this sense of joy that she liked the present. There really is something about finding a gift for someone else that they love and enjoy and appreciate that brings us joy, isn't it? I bet many of you have had that experience, haven't you? Where you've picked something out, you've spent time kind of thinking about what it is this person likes, their personality, the things that they enjoy doing, what are they missing in their life, what is something that they might enjoy doing or get some use out of, and then spending energy going out and finding it or looking on the internet or whatever, and then spending money to actually buy the thing, and then having this hope that they will like this gift that you've gotten them. You have this expectation, it's kind of built up. And then when they do like it, there is this sense of joy, this sense of relief almost that they do like it. This wonderful feeling, this feeling of connection between you and that person because you've gotten them a good and meaningful gift. Many of you may be familiar with the book called The Five Love Languages. It's kind of the idea behind the book is that we all experience and give love in different kinds of ways, and that there are five kind of primary ways that people do that, and different people do it in different ways. But one of those is giving gifts. Have you ever thought about gifts in that way? That really a way to express love is giving gifts to one another. Well, on Christmas, there are lots of gifts, not just the gifts that we give to our children or to each other, but there are gifts in the story of Christmas. We heard the story of the wise men today, the Magi who came from the east to visit the young Jesus. And much has been made about the gifts that they brought to him. There are three gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so we infer from that that there were three wise men, but Scripture doesn't actually tell us that. There's three gifts, and so we assume three wise men, but could have been two, could have been 20. We really don't know. But we do know that there were three gifts. And we try to kind of make sense of these gifts, right? They are, in some ways, impractical gifts for an infant, right? I kind of wonder what Mary and Joseph's reaction was to these gifts. Part of me wonders, you know, did they ask, where are the diapers? Like, the diapers are really what we could use at this point in time, not gold and frankincense and myrrh. And then there's also this idea that of what happens immediately after this story in Scripture. That Herod is outraged at this child being born who's to be king, and so he orders the execution of all the young children, and so Mary and Joseph and Jesus have to flee to Egypt to escape his wrath. And so maybe these three gifts are what financed their trip as refugees to that place. Maybe that's what enabled them to go and to be safe and to escape. Sometimes we look for symbolism in these gifts as our call to worship and as the hymn We Three Kings does, kind of looks at each gift and says, you know, gold is a gift for a king, and frankincense is a gift that's used in worship and incense, and myrrh is used in burial ceremonies. And so we identify different parts of who Jesus is with those three gifts, and we find meaning there. So there's these three gifts that the wise men bring, but they're not the only gift at Christmas. And Cindy alluded to this in the children's message, but the greatest gift of all at Christmas is the gift of God, God's self, in the person of Jesus Christ. In many ways, the greatest gift that any of us can give is the gift of ourself. And that is what God gives on Christmas. God comes to us. The Creator becomes part of creation. And God offers God's very self to us, to you, and to me, to all of humanity, and as we've been reminded throughout this series, to all of creation. Now, remember that feeling that I had buying the gift for Becca and hoping and wondering if she's going to like this gift, if she's going to accept it, if she's going to enjoy it. And I wonder if God has some of those same kind of feelings or experiences or emotions around the gift of Jesus. Does God wonder if we are going to accept this gift and like this gift? Are we going to be grateful for the gift of God's very self, or are we going to take the gift for granted? Are we going to ignore the gift or reject the gift even? I think Jesus Christ is the greatest gift that has ever been given, the gift of God's self. And I think the second greatest gift ever given is the gift of the earth, the gift of creation itself to us. And as we've identified throughout this series, we often do take that gift for granted, don't we? We take the gift of the earth, the beauty of this place, for granted. So I wonder if we might, in this season and in this new year, pause and think about the amazing gifts that are Jesus Christ and that are creation and the earth. And pause and be grateful. To look out on the earth and see the mountains and the valleys and stand in awe and wonder. To look at the rivers and the lakes and the streams and the oceans and be filled with a sense of majesty and grandeur at looking at it. To look up at the sky during the day and see the clouds and imagine shapes in them, and then look up at night and see the stars and be lost in a sense of the vastness of the created world. I wonder if we might pause and give thanks for all that God has given us, to be grateful rather than to take it for granted. And then in turn, as we have received these gifts, to give gifts ourselves. Indeed, to give the gift of ourself. To give ourself in service to God, in service to one another, and in service to creation. Because that is exactly what God has done for us. Given God's very self, given God's very best for us. And so may we, in turn, as grateful people, as faithful people, as disciples of Jesus Christ, give ourselves for one another and for all creation. May it be so. Amen.